We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Joining us now on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline to continue our baseball conversation, Jay Jaffe from SI, also MLB Network as well. Jay, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks. I'm good.
Jay, let's begin with some, obviously this is the time of year we're seeing a lot of trade rumors and a lot of things have already happened. And, here in Cleveland, we feel like the Indians should go get another pitcher. It's something we didn't think in the beginning of the year. But obviously with Salazar struggles, Bauer, Tomlin as well, it seems like they could use another pitcher. They've been connected somewhat at least to you, Darvish, here in the last 24 hours. Is a rental something that makes sense for the Indians in general?
I mean, if it's the right price, yes, sure. I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, you're going to give up some talent and you're not going to get any kind of draft pick compensation when they leave, if it's somebody who, otherwise would be in that spot. But, with every situation, you have to make a judgment as to whether the talent you're giving up and the quality you're receiving is a fair exchange. I think the Indians are a team that, they've been very good about building from within and focusing on club control. But there are times when you do just have to rent and take what's available.
What do you think Yu Darvish would cost? I mean, what would the Indians have to give up for him?
I don't have a great command of their actual system. I think that you'd like to avoid giving up Francisco Mejia, the top catching prospect, who's at Double A. But I do think you're going to have to give up some prospect of significance. It's going to hurt, and it's probably going to be more than one player that you surrender. But hopefully, it's guys who are further down, who are closer to lottery tickets. Will they make it? Won't they make it? You never know. And if they do make it, they're a few years away, so it's not going to be like you're reminded of that move every day.
Jay Jaffe with SI is with us. Jay, obviously, Yu Darvish has had a lot of injury problems in recent years. How big a difference maker do you think he is right now, considering the risk of injury with him?
Well, I don't think you ever know with anybody exactly what's going to happen, but I like Darvish's upside. I think he's there's just not a lot of great names out there. I mean, you look at the club control guys who are out there. Jose Quintana, who was acquired by the Cubs, was in the midst of a career worst year. Sonny Gray is coming off an injury riddled year that and he's bounced back recently, but he was shaky earlier this year. I think that's the case for a lot of these guys. They're pitchers. Blowing up is what they do. Yeah. So I look at Darvish, I look at his numbers, and I think if he's available, he's a good guy to go get as long as the medicals are all right.
When you look at the Indians starting rotation right now, I mean, obviously Carrasco and Kluber are awesome, but I mean a lot of question marks after that. And Danny Salazar is going to be coming back here shortly, and we'll see what happens with him. Do you trust that Danny Salazar is somebody that you can count on come postseason?
No, I mean track record wise, I guess so. But anytime you've got an injured pitcher who's been underperforming, I think banking too hard on their rebounding to form is probably foolish. That said, you've got three guys in the rotation with ERAs of 5.40 or above. I don't think you can afford to go out and replace all three of them at the deadline. So, to some extent, you have to cross your fingers and hope. But to me, that's why you go get somebody of the caliber of Darvish or Gray, to help mitigate that.
From an offensive standpoint, Jay, obviously Jason Kipnis had a bad season. He's been injured off and on this season. Lonnie Chisenhall is hurt again. So there's been some talk of the Indians going after a hitter as well, Jay Bruce, and Asdrubal Cabrera, who I don't love, but those two names have come up recently. What are your thoughts on either of those guys being acquired by the Tribe?
I think given their needs, I think that's actually a pretty good fit, because Cabrera, you know, while he did not like being moved off of shortstop with the Mets recently, you know, he's not really a good shortstop, a good fielder for a shortstop. He's a better, and he can play second and third base, which I think can help, and you know, gives the Indians some flexibility there. Bruce is a thumper who's in the midst of a good year. I don't see how he couldn't help you. I mean, obviously he's had slumps in the past, but he would seem to be a fit for the team. I mean, the Indians are fairly lefty heavy, so that could be an issue if given the choice. But they lost out on J.D. Martinez, who is probably the top righty outfield bat to be dealt at the deadline. So, you know, that would seem to be a reasonably good fit.
You know, we don't know what's going to happen. It looked like last night Jaime Garcia was going to get traded from the Braves to the Twins. Now they're saying maybe that's going to fall apart. Are you surprised that the Twins, who are, in my opinion, highly overachieving just to be around 500, are actually going to go for it to some degree?
Well, I think that they're going to be more cautious than some other teams, but I'm not surprised. I think, you know, these opportunities to contend don't come along every year. If you're close, you owe it to your players and to your fan base to do something, so long as you're not totally burning your options down the road. You know, to try to figure out a way to build on what you're doing and improve the club for the second half.
You know, it's interesting. Last year, the Indians went out and got Andrew Miller at the deadline and really bolstered the bullpen. As of late, you know, the bullpen is kind of had some struggles here in Cleveland. Would it be crazy to think that they could go at another arm in the back end of the in terms of a relief pitcher?
I don't think it's crazy, but I think, you know, having discussed the moves we've talked about, that it's probably not their priority. Mm-hmm. That said, there is not a single contending team that could not use another arm in the bullpen, the Indians included. So I suspect anybody who wants one is going to scare up something that they can squint at and say, hey, this could help. You know, it may not be acquiring another Andrew Miller. Probably, in the Indians' case, it's probably not. But, you know, whether it's getting a lefty to replace Boone Logan or something like that, you know, those kinds of upgrades are out there. Jerry Blevins of the Mets is one who comes to mind, so long as they're talking about Cabrera and Bruce.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe of SI. Jay, some other things around the league. My partner yesterday was asking me, you know, which team I thought was the team to beat in the National League. And even though as great as the Dodgers have been, with the additions of Doolittle and Madsen, and if the Nats can add one more guy to the pen, I think they might actually be better, because I like their rotation better than the Dodgers, and I like their lineup better than the Dodgers. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. Hmm? You know, the Nationals just lost Joe Ross to Tommy John surgery. I mean, I think that's probably a bigger need for them right now than the bullpen. Although, sure, you know, what I said with regards to the Indians applies to them as well. You can always use another arm.
Sure.
You know, the Nationals have issues in the outfield. Jason Wirth is dealing with a broken bone in his foot, and they've lost Adam Eaton for the year, and Michael Taylor and Trey Turner are also banged up and not back yet. So they have significant injury issues. I think the Dodgers are healthier. I know that you know, people don't see Alex Wood and Rich Hill as being as big a names as Steven Strasburg you know, the rest of that Nationals rotation,
yeah.
But this is a team that's firing on all cylinders right now.
Are.
And the Nationals, boy, that bullpen, you know, you've still got risk there when it comes to hoping that Madsen and Doolittle solve every problem.
Does it make sense for, there's reports of the Brewers are going strong after Justin Verlander? Obviously, it's been a surprising great season for the Brewers, but their lead's gone from 5.5 to one game here since the All-Star break. Does it make sense for the Brewers to go all in on a guy like Verlander, who might cost him, you know, it's not like a Jaime Garcia with the Twins, which isn't going to cost him that much. I know Verlander's got a big contract, but it'll probably cost him more. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think it depends on how much the Tigers are paying down of that. You know, I would expect Verlander could perk up with a move to a better team and a National League team. That said, I don't think he's the ideal target because he's been scuffling this year. I know that they've been in on Sonny Gray. He was he worked with their current pitching coach when he was at Vanderbilt. You know, I think there are other options that could make more sense there if they're going after guys who have club control. But again, a lot of it comes down to the money and the cost of the actual prospects that would be in a potential deal.
Jay Jaffe of SI is with us. Jay, I know you're big, the Hall of Fame guy, of course, and I just want to talk to you about the Hall of Fame a little bit because, and I've talked to you before, but you know the whole thing with all the steroid guys and to some degree closers clogging up the ballot a little bit, and guys that deserve to get in or not getting in or not getting as many votes because the ballot's so clogged up right now. Is there anything that could happen? Anything that you know that might change to fix that problem? You think?
No, I mean I think we've seen movement with regards to the PED guys. I mean, Bonds and Clemens are trending towards election. They just topped 50% of the vote in this last cycle, and they still have 5 years left. But I think, you know, with the culling of the electorate to remove the long retired writers, you know, we're seeing people who are maybe a little less married to the absolutes of the steroid era. You know, as for the relievers, I mean, you know, I think Trevor Hoffman's going to get in either this year or next year, Mariano Rivera after that, but I don't see any other reliever getting in anytime soon. You know, it's a hard sell for most of the voters, particularly with the way that, advanced statistics have reshaped our view of the contributions of relievers.
You know, here in Cleveland, they want to see Omar Vizquel get in. What do you think about him?
I think he is going to be a very polarizing candidate. I know that he was an acrobatic defender, and his adherents want to compare him to Ozzie Smith. When I crunch the numbers, I see somebody whose defensive value doesn't approach that of Smith for all the highlights. And once you adjust for ballpark and era, his offense was significantly below that, too. So the system that I use, which called JAWS, which relies on wins above replacement, he does not come up as somebody who is worthy of election. You know, I understand that fans are passionate about him, and I'm not saying he's a bad player at all, but I would not include him on my ballot.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Hall of Fame either, Jay. And for me in Cleveland, people have gotten angry at me when I've said that, and probably will get angry at me again right now as they have with you, But I agree with you. I don't think he's a very good player. I think people think if you say a guy's not a Hall of Famer, you think he stinks. There's obviously a large ground in between.
Yeah, that's one of the real challenges of this book. You know, I evaluate almost 300 players, and you know, when I'm saying that a guy's not a Hall of Famer, I'm still conceding. But need to remind people that I'm still talking about somebody who's somewhere on the spectrum of a very good ball player and legitimately great and trying to understand, exactly where on that spectrum they are.
I'm curious, what you think of Mike Mussina, because he's a guy I never thought was a Hall of Famer, and in recent years I've flip-flopped on him, and now I think he is. What do you think?
Yes, okay. I do think he's a Hall of Famer. Fortunately, he's trending towards election. This is a guy who excelled in the high offense crucible of the American League East for so long. I think if he'd had his Baltimore years in New York and his New York years in Baltimore, I don't think there'd be a question about whether he belongs in the Hall of Fame. He was a little bit out of the spotlight with those Orioles teams, and I think some people don't appreciate the full quality of his career. That said, I think his free agent contract with the Yankees turned out about as well as a long-term pitcher free agent contract could. He really only had one really bad season, a couple uneven ones, but he was excellent for a good long time.
Jay, last thing, the MLB Network recently did a thing on the Indians, the dynasty that almost was. It was a great show that they did, and it brought up a lot of fun memories and sad memories as well. Albert Bell wasn't in it, and that the lineup was ridiculous. Should Albert Bell have gotten more consideration for the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously, a tremendous slugger in his prime, but his career ended too soon, to give him the full credentials that are needed to get into the Hall of Fame. It's unfortunate that happened, but he's hardly the first guy to whom that's happened. And when I evaluated him in my system, I see him as significantly short.
Jay, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, sure thing. Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.